to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never started the show that way. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Empowered by the Spirit, and I'm so excited. I'm singing Hallelujah during this season of joy because I have two wonderful people with me. I have Gia Chacon, who is a young adult evangelist. Welcome to the show, Gia.
Thank you, Deacon Steve. It's such a blessing to be here.
And Marianne Greco. Do we know each other? I think so.
A little bit.
Yeah, it'll be 47 years here this month in December. Welcome back to the show, Marianne.
Thank you.
And we're talking about one of my absolute favorite subjects, and that's being all in. The title of the show is Totally Committed. And being totally committed is something that Jesus is asking us to do. Is to not compromise. Think about it for a second. You've been to the Holy Land, right, Gia, or no?
I have not been to the
Holy
Land.
Okay, so you're going to go with us, because we lead pilgrimages, right?
Yes.
So I want you with us.
God willing.
So God willing. Sea of Galilee, and Marianne, you can picture this. And Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he comes to, there's a Jeopardy question recently, is who was the first, I'll ask you, Marianne, who was the first person that Jesus asked? This was a Jeopardy question. And the answer is Andrew.
Oh.
It was his feast day recently on a Friday.
Right.
But, scripture says Andrew and Peter because they were brothers. And he said, come follow me. What does that mean to come follow Jesus, Gia?
Well, for me personally, Deacon Steve, come follow me from Jesus is an invitation to kind of abandon life as we know it and get ready to live our most full, most joyous life in Christ. And speaking to myself, what happened in my own personal life, I received that call to come follow Jesus. And I was about 19 years old, 20 years old, and I was just very much kind of living a balancing act. I was living with one foot in the world and one foot in my faith. And I did that for a number of years, but pretty quickly, I realized that the foot that was kind of in the world was more of a ball and chain, and it was pulling me deeper into compromise and heartache. So I can continue on that a little bit later, but in 2017, I was actually on a mission trip in Egypt, my first one in probably about 8 or 9 years, and I was in a service, in like a prayer service, and Jesus spoke to my heart, and he said, are you willing to dedicate your life to me? I'm calling you. And he just said that to my heart. And I said, yes. And I had a radical conversion from just totally working a secular job, drinking, having boyfriends, not really caring about my faith that much. It was kind of on the back burner. Came back, was never the same, and completely sold out for Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
That's why I started Hallelujah. Now you know why, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting because when Jesus called his disciples, he said, come follow me. He wanted more than just them coming and learning from him. He wanted them to live with him, right, be in relationship with him, see how, live together, react together, meet people together. And that's what he's asking of us.
Absolutely.
It's more than just saying, I know who Jesus is and I've studied who it is, but it's living with him in every second of our life and putting him in every aspect of our life. And that sounds like what he called you to do.
Yes.
Now, you are a millennial, but a young millennial.
Yes,
right?
I think I'm right on the cusp,
right,
the end cusp of millennial.
The very end cusp. And so, you know, this is hard for being any of us, but being a millennial, you know, you probably don't find all that many people that share your beliefs.
That's true. And when I first had my radical conversion of heart is what I like to call it, because I was raised Christian and I had a praying mom and we always went to mass on Sundays. But I had, when I made that decision and when I came back from Egypt, I knew that my life was never going to be the same. And I had decided already when I was in another country that when I came back to America, that it was going to be some hard work and it was going to be difficult for me and that I was going to go through a period of transition. And so I had to change a lot about my life. I changed my friends. I changed the job that I was in. I changed my lifestyle and the fact of my habits and going out and different things. And I lost a lot of friends because of my new Jesus lover, Jesus freak is what a lot of people used to call me when I first had this transition. I lost probably 95% of my friends because of the lifestyle change.
But what did you really give up?
I gave up something so small in exchange for what the Lord gave me. And it's incredible because in 1 year, the Lord took me with the yes that I said to him, because that's important, is that we have to say yes and we have to be willing to, air quotes, give up these other things in our life, take up our cross daily. I think that's what it means when it's to take up our cross daily, is that we're constantly kind of having to sacrifice these little things in exchange for the Lord, which is, of course, there's no greater sacrifice. But to answer your question, in 1 year, Jesus took me, the Lord took me from being totally miserable, hating myself, because I really did hate myself. And the people around me suffered the consequences of me not liking myself because I was not nice to other people. I was not because of my own issues. Anyways, so took me from a miserable person. In 1 year, I became a missionary. I became the leader of a young adult group. I got these new friends that had, you know, Christ-filled friends, people that are going somewhere, people that love the Lord and love other people. I spoke at my first women's conference. Following year, I spoke in Egypt to young adults, and I was able to share my testimony and preach Jesus to them. So that's what the Lord can do in just 1 year with your yes to him. He can take you from being miserable to a life that you could never imagine.
Yeah, you are absolutely amazing as it relates to that yes. And Marianne, that's exactly what Jesus called us to do. When he went along the Sea of Galilee and said, come follow me, he didn't say, when it's convenient,
right,
or when you feel like it.
Yeah.
He basically said, drop everything and follow me. And for most people, they struggle with, oh, I've got to give up so much. And, you know, what about my spouse? What about my work? What about my children? What about this? God basically is saying, seek me first.
Yes.
Then everything else will be added. Right? Matthew 6:33. He's not saying that not to be married. He's not saying not to work, not to have children. He's saying, just put me ahead of everything else.
When he called the apostles, they had jobs. They, you know, the fishermen had businesses, and we had tax collectors. They all had things they had to give up, but they were unconditionally following him. And we as well have things, but it's, everyone has a different journey about what following him and what all in is for them. It requires different things of each of us, and it depends, you know, but we put the Lord first in our lives.
Absolutely.
And how that plays out is actually, I think it's fun to watch in my own life and in others, but to see where you're going with the Lord.
Gee, I don't know if you've heard my story, but I was 28 years of age. And I was a district sales manager, and I was in Bakersfield, California, with one of my sales representatives, and he was Catholic, and he said, I found Jesus. I said, what are you talking about, you found Jesus? He had a Holy Spirit pin. He said, you know, I never knew Jesus. I had Jesus in the head, but not in the heart.
Yeah.
And now I have a relationship with him. And I drove home, and I started thinking about that. And when I got home, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, Lord, I give you all my heart. My brothers and sisters, just think of the good thief on the cross. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's that moment in time. It's not how many times you pray. It's not how long you pray. It's that fervent prayer. It's that what happened with you to make that commitment. When that happened, I went into my living room and I saw this big thick book that with dust on it and pictures. What was it?
The Bible.
Exactly. Everyone gets that right. You know, literally had never been open, and all of a sudden the words started leaping off the page at me. And at that point in time, I couldn't stop reading the Bible and I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. When you are all in, you know it.
Yes.
You can't fake it. You can't, you know, you can look at people, and it's not that we're judging them, but basically, if someone isn't excited about Jesus, if that's not the center of their life, then something else is their God.
That's right. And I truly believe that when you say yes to the Lord, and, you know, and I think that it comes at a different point for each of us. I think that God calls us out. He's always calling us. But there comes to a point where I think that the Lord kind of intervenes and he says, okay, you're done running now. You know, and that's what happened in my own life. And I think that when he calls you and you say yes to him and you mean it, like you said, it doesn't have to really be this long prayer and you don't have to go right away into the church and, you know, beg there for hours. But when you say that yes with your simple yes, I think there's a fire that starts. And it's the Holy Spirit, and he lights you on fire, and you're right, you can't help it. All of a sudden, you are screaming it from the rooftops, and I think that's kind of why we get the name Jesus Freaks, because it's like, you know, what's this all about? Why? How did you come from being, you know, just that person, and now all of a sudden, you're excited, you're joyful. It's contagious, I believe.
It is contagious, and people want what we have.
Right.
You know, they look at us, and they go, you're different. You have peace.
Mm-hmm.
You have more love. You love everybody. You don't let things get to you. And we're not perfect.
No, we're not.
By any stretch of the imagination, because we're a work in progress, right?
Yes,
we're not totally developed yet. But it's that desire. It's that wanting to be part of Jesus and to have him in our heart and take over our life.
That's right. And, you know, I think that before when you asked me about what's it like being a millennial and to be a Christian is countercultural. And I said that a lot of millennials a lot of my friends, I guess, I don't want to say abandoned me, but kind of went a different way when I became Christian, sold out Christian, I should say. But also I realized that a lot of young people are hungry and they want to be filled up and they want to have purpose and they want to know what the meaning of life is. And I believe that especially as young people, we're all searching for the truth and for what our calling is. And maybe not everybody knows, you know, exactly what calling means or that it's the Lord that is truth, but we're all searching for that.
We had on a previous show, someone that says that the mantra for many of your generation is, what is it? You only live once. You know, have you heard that before?
YOLO. I have. YOLO.
YOLO, which I had never heard before. But, you know, the reality of what truth is, the reality of what living abundant life is something in which we realize that our life is but a vapor that appears briefly and disappears.
That's right.
And what is reality is living in eternity with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk more about that and how you can be all in for Jesus and totally committed. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Showing for one night only at a theater near you. A story about the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution and one father's quest for answers.
Have you seen the videos and Instagram posts and ads that young women are fed these days? It's craziness.
From writer-director Don Johnson, a new documentary that uncovers the truth about how we got here.
The gist of Cosmo was hard work and sex without the kids will set you free.
Unprotected, featuring stories and insight from some of today's most articulate Catholic thinkers, including Christopher West and Jennifer Fulweiler. Tickets available now at unprotectedmovie.com.
Dear brothers and sisters, a very blessed Christmas season to you and your loved ones. This is Bishop Kevin Vann. One of my favorite songs of the season is an Italian hymn called Tu Scendi dalle Stelle, or Jesus Came Down from the Stars, or Jesus Came Down from Heaven. Let's keep all that in mind this year as we journey through this holiday season that the Lord has come down to meet us and guide us and walk with us. And if you happen to hear Tu Scendi dalle Stelle, think about how the Lord has come down to meet all of us. Amen.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Powered by the Spirit with two wonderful people. We are on the show with Gia Chacone, who is a young adult evangelist, and Marianne Greco, my bride, who is definitely an evangelist and someone who is on fire with the Lord. They both are. And we're talking about that total yes, to be totally committed to the Lord. You know, we're living in this day and age where more and more people are dropping out of the church, and, mm-hmm. you know, the statistics are really pretty frightening. The year 2000, we had about 84 million, and then like 14 some years later in 2014, it's down to 70 million. And just in the last 2 years, it's reported that we've lost as a church 2.4 million. And it's not just our church, not just the Catholic Church. It's literally churches everywhere. And, you know, the statistic that 70% of young people that are confirmed by the time they hit 29 years of age are listing themselves as none of the above. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not part of the Catholic Church, and they're not part of any church. You obviously have to see that in terms of the challenges. And as this evangelist, this young adult person who's all in, what do you do to try to get someone to come back to the church, or maybe someone who really isn't part of the church, when you tell them about Jesus Christ? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, I think a lot of young people, especially, they are spiritual, but they're not religious. I feel like there's almost this negative connotation that has taken upon being Catholic or being religious, especially being Catholic. I think maybe non-denominational Christianity is a little bit more accepted. But you have to start with love, because what these other spiritualities are lacking is the true love, which is Jesus Christ. And I think that if we try to angle it too quickly with come back to the church, which is our ultimate goal, of course, then somewhere along the line, there's a wall that gets put up, you know, like that. We're just trying to, I guess, pull them into almost like a cult is a way a lot of these spiritual but non-religious people think. So I think absolutely we start with love. And it seems kind of cheesy maybe to the culture to ask people, do you know that you are loved? Do you know that you are loved by a redeemer and a savior? Did you know that you can have a life that's passionate and on fire and secure? Do you know these things? And maybe some people might say yes, or some people might say no, or what do you mean by that? And when you start with love, it's an open conversation and it meets the person where they are. And that's what Jesus did, is he met us where we are.
Because everyone is searching for love, Marianne. Everyone is searching for meaning in their life.
Right.
And no matter where we are and whatever generation that we're in, you know, that remains the same.
We all want to feel loved. And I think what people forget is, I've said this sometimes to people who are down on themselves, is that if you were the last person on earth and you committed some sin or you did something, he would still die for you, knowing that you were going to do this, because he loves you so much. And it seems like a simple thing to some of us, but it's a major concept that a lot of people don't think about.
That's right.
That's how much he loves us. And we need to help people remember that, or at least know it if they've never heard it before.
Right.
Now, Marianne, you lead Bible studies for women. A lot of the women are perhaps a little bit older in our generation, but many of them are not, and you've been doing this for many years.
Mm-hmm.
The women that have young children and teenagers and so forth, and they're so busy, and they're running around, and somehow Jesus isn't so much part of their life. What do you say to them?
Well, I think that women start sharing their stories and how they coped with this or how they coped with that. And when we start sharing our personal stories about how we turned ourselves over to the Lord and how it changed us and made a difference in our life, then they see the value in it. And so it's sharing your personal story, really, of how the Lord touched you. What was your moment? And I always encourage those people to really think about your testimony. How did Jesus come to you? And be able to share that. I say, like, share it with a couple sentences or share it with a couple paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
But be ready and prepared to share your story. How did Jesus come to me? You know, what was my experience? And just share that with others.
Ignatian spirituality talks about either we're moving closer to God, which is consolation, or moving away from God, which is desolation. Psychologists tell us we make nearly 2,000 choices every single day in terms of things that we decide to do during the course of the day. The point is, are you moving close to God in what you do? And are you ready to make that commitment that I gave my story, Gia gave her story, about making that total commitment to Jesus and saying, I put you first? I put you first above relationships. I put you first above me, above health. I put you first above the job, above money, above everything, no matter what. We've talked, Gia, and we met. We're going to have, God willing, a retreat in May with young adults. And we basically are calling it more of the all-in retreat. And I'll never forget. I mean, we were discussing various adult ministry, young adult ministries and so forth, and who's all in. And, you know, at times it's kind of hard to find people that are not compromising, you know, and certainly we have to look at ourselves and are we compromising? So it's not so much judging people, but who wants to make that commitment, no matter what the price is, to say, I put you first, Jesus. And what's it take to do that?
I think it all goes back to your original yes and why you said yes. And you remember, you know, for me personally, Jesus saved me from the pit that I was in. I was so unhappy and I was so miserable and I hated myself, which is, you know, now it's, I'm almost hesitant to say that, but that was the reality, is that I didn't like myself and I didn't like the life that I was living. When I said yes to Jesus, I also said yes to anything that would get me out of that place, because I knew, somehow I knew that I knew that I knew that if I said yes to the Lord and if I said yes to all the things that he had for me, even though I didn't know what it looked like, even though I didn't really know the next step to take, even though I wasn't sure exactly what the right way to do it was, I knew that it was going to make me happy and that it was going to gradually take me out of that place that I was in. And so now that I'm in a much better place and I'm living this life, right, I believe that I'm living the life that Jesus has called me to, although, like you said, we are all imperfect and we're all works in process. When I think about compromise and not willing to compromise, sometimes I have to go back to the place that I was in before. And I have to remember that this is where Jesus took me from. And this is what a life looks like when I am compromising. And I remind myself of that bad that I was in. And I'm like, okay, anything is worth not living that life. And everything is worth living the life that Jesus has called me to.
My brothers and sisters, the devil is the liar. The devil whispers in our ears and tells us that, oh, don't do this because you're going to have to give up all these things. And people aren't going to like you and whatever it might be, and you're going to be miserable. And it's a total lie. The exact truth is that only through Jesus do you have life and life abundantly. That's only through Jesus do you have peace. Only through Jesus do you have love. He's the God of love. Where's love come from? It comes from Jesus. It comes from following Jesus totally and completely. Gia, one of the things that we all struggle and so forth and trying to reach the millennials and the younger generation and young adults and in so many different ways, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And you're obviously a young adult leader. You've done very well. But so many of the young adults, what I see, they put the gym first, or they put, you know, the whole thing we talked about, live your best life. And they think living the best life is doing things that the world offers. Right. And it's not that other generations haven't also gone through that, but somehow it feels differently with the millennials and with even the Gen Xers. You don't see them in church. You don't see them, all that many people in church. You don't see them doing the same kinds of things that other generations have done, because they don't see it as a priority. Your thoughts on that?
I think that, maybe too many people have told them that they should be Christian, or, have told them about Jesus Christ, or maybe, you know, have said these things to them, but has anyone ever really shown them what a life with Jesus is like? Has anyone ever showed them what Christianity and being totally sold out and being all in is really like? Because if, you know, all of us that are Christians would do this, and even myself, I'm guilty of this, am I really living the life that shows how awesome it is to be a follower of Christ? Because I believe that if more of us really did that and lived out how awesome it really is, people would see that. Like you said, when people recognize that, they want it. And I think that's what we struggle with facing the younger generation, is that for so long people have told them things, but I think it's time for us to start showing them. And that's all goes back to love again.
Wow. Wow. That is so awesome, because it is about who we are as people. You know, St. Mother Teresa told her sisters that if you don't have joy, don't go out in the streets.
That's right.
Don't go see the poor. They have enough problems of their own. And my brothers and sisters, this isn't a guilt trip, but you have to ask yourself, if I'm don't have that joy, if I don't feel the fire, the zeal, if I'm not excited about going to church, if I'm not excited about spreading the word of God, what's going on in my life that's preventing that? You know, and the devil wants to constantly say, oh, well, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. And if you give up on those things, you're not going to be happy. But you made the point, which is so true, and that is it's only in relationship with Jesus that we're happy.
That's right. And I think you make a really good point that the devil is a liar, and he is very real, and we face him all the time. And I think that he's constantly in our ear telling us, especially as a young person myself, and facing the things that the culture offers, or maybe what the culture says is normal, right? The devil will kind of get in my head and say, well, isn't that a little crazy to be like that? Or you don't really want to post a video about you talking about Jesus because, you know, what if someone thinks something of that? Or, you know, someone's going to think that you look crazy like that. And I think that we just have to just, number one, acknowledge that the devil is a liar. But number two, go back to what Jesus said. And he said, number one, love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. And also he said, go and make disciples, you know? So I think that it's our obligation as Christians to go out to the world and just be fearless and just go for it, you know, just start that conversation.
That term fearless, of course, is very powerful. There's a movie done called Fearless. A lot of young adults have seen this movie. And, you know, that's exactly what we need to be. And Marianne, we need just to step out in faith no matter what the cost is.
Absolutely. And that's when we center on the Lord. That's when we start feeling the joy and the bubbly, right, you know, that you can't hold back. And so sometimes we do get down, or we're listening to the devil too much. And so we need to reset myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I have to take time and don't let that go far, but just reset and give yourself again to the Lord,
yeah,
and recommit and let that flow again. So we have to think of that.
We talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We see this in Acts 1:8, where it basically says, Jesus said, you know, what kind of baptism did you get? And did you get a baptism of repentance? And then Jesus says to his disciples, soon the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power.
Mm-hmm.
And that power will allow you to be my witnesses, to really be the people that I've caused you to be, which is to spread my word. But you need that power of the Holy Spirit. You have to make that commitment for that power. We're going to come right back and talk more about how do you build a young adult ministry in which this young adult ministry is not compromising, but is all in. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child, and Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit with two incredible people, Gia Chacone, a young adult evangelist. Now, when I say young adult, I mean very young adult, and Marianne Greco, my bride of 47 years, who is also on fire. We're talking about what does it mean to be totally committed? What's it mean to be all in? And you know, when you start thinking about that, it really is an important discussion to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also with other people to say, you know, how can we build a group of people who are so committed that they want to change the world? You know, and I think when I first met you, I saw the Holy Spirit just all over you and hovering over you, and you're that kind of person. The world and other people try and drag you down. They try and water it down all the time. I think, Marianne, you and I don't even know how many years it's been now. It feels like about 10 years ago. we both independently got from the Holy Spirit, don't water things down. Don't mm-hmm. compromise. Mm-hmm. And everything changed then.
Oh.
Everything changed then. You know, it was soon I was on the radio. Soon, you know, everything exploded. You know, exactly what you just said earlier, Gia, is that when you don't compromise, then all of a sudden everything changes. But we think we have to compromise in order to meet our wants. But Jesus says in Philippians 4:19, I will supply your needs according to my riches and glory. So the needs of people are really the same.
Mm-hmm.
We think that each generation is so much dramatically different. But we're all made in the same way. We're made to have that need for Jesus to take over our lives. So it doesn't matter if we're part of a different generation, that social media is different, computers, the way we talk, the way we act are different, whatever. The basic concept is the same, is we need Jesus. Now, you're in charge, Gia, of and the leader of a very thriving young adult ministry. How do you create this environment in which the young adults who show up really are on fire with the Lord and are really all in? How do you create that environment?
Well, first of all, Deacon Steve, everything starts with prayer. And how I even came to be this leader of the young adult group is actually definitely divine providence, because at Mission Basilica, which is the parish that I attend, we did not have a young adult group for a few years. And I always thought, even kind of pre this radical conversion of heart, I always thought it was such a shame that a beautiful church like Mission Basilica didn't have a thriving young adult group. And that was something that was kind of always on my heart. And every now and then a thought would come into my mind, like, maybe you should start the young adult group. But I never thought that I was ready to take that on. And then one of the previous leaders of the group gave me a call earlier in 2018. And I hadn't spoken to him in maybe about 2 or 3 years. And he said, Gia, would you be interested in taking over the young adult group at Mission Basilica? And I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. That's definitely you calling, right? So I said yes, and I prayed about it, and I asked, you know, Lord, what is your vision? What can I bring to this young adult group, and how can I create a group that's really important? And through prayer, I came to the mission that we need to ignite young adults with the love of God, empower them to live a life of faith on fire, connect them further to the church, and show them who they are in Jesus Christ. And when you do those things, when you, through example, it changes the atmosphere. When you focus on those missions, that's you know, the truth about what it's like to be Christian, and people will be drawn to that through your example.
And so you've seen the young adult group really explode in many
yes.
ways, and adding of people and so forth. How do you create the atmosphere in which people want to be evangelists?
Well, first of all, everything comes from joy and love. But also when I was thinking of kind of what the theme would be, I kept thinking of the quote from St. Catherine of Siena, be who God intended you to be and you will set the world on fire. And I kind of made that the theme for our young adult group. And I feel like that's very closely connected to 1 Timothy 4:12, where it says, let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, in charity, and all of these things. And when you live that out and you empower other people to do so, that's what creates evangelization. That's what creates people the desire to and the confidence to go forward and bring other people to Christ.
Marianne, how do you do it in an older group, you know, our baby boomer group? How do you get people not to just see the Catholic Church as just part of a culture, which, yeah, well, I go to church on Sundays mm-hmm. and I check the box, but are on fire for the Lord and are really in and everything changes in their life? How do you create that atmosphere?
Well, I think, as Gia said, it's by example. I think one of the things when I teach Bible study, the women keep coming back to me and say, we really like the fact that you're honestly open with your life, and I'm not perfect. But what I end up doing is sharing my weaknesses and how God has helped me through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sharing my story, and, you know, some of them will say, well, I never thought I could go to God and ask him to help me with this, or I didn't feel that. And so a lot of it is just, you know, loving them where they are, but sharing where you are as well and being vulnerable to that. You know, it's kind of scary to open yourself up and say, this is who I am. And, you know, this is where I've been and this is where God has brought me.
And to be vulnerable, to your point, is really important, and be real, and to teach people about prayer, as Gia, you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to what extent do they have that personal relationship? I know Pope Francis talks about encounters, and we do have to encounter Christ, but we have to have a relationship. It's the relationship that brings us joy.
Yes.
It isn't circumstances. No. It's a relationship. And we have to make that leap. I really do believe that you have to make that leap and basically say, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know this. I can only be joyful. I can only be fulfilled living out my purpose, living out what God has created me to do when I'm all in.
Right.
When I say yes to Jesus without compromise.
Yes. And I think that a lot of people, maybe why they're hesitant to be all in is because they think that they have to give up all of these things and they have to radically change who they were. And although a radical change does take place, Jesus is not calling us to abandon who we really are. It's in abandoning these things that we are not created for, that we become who we really are. And the closer that we become to Christ, the more that we're investing in our relationship with him, the more that we're seeing Jesus as our personal friend and our Lord and Savior, the more we'll have a full understanding of what joy is and what we are truly called to.
So tell us, okay, you made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
My brothers and sisters, it's so important to make that decision to say, Lord, just take over my life. We talk about the greatest journey being 18 inches. What is it?
From the head to the heart, yes.
Okay, she gets that right, A+. Head to the heart, because having head knowledge, right, as it says in Scripture, even the demons know that Jesus is the Son of God.
That's right.
But you have to make Jesus Lord of your life, King of your life, and put Jesus in your heart. Okay, so let's say you do that. You have that big moment, that metanoia, that change that you talked about, Gia, earlier. And you have Jesus is now, okay, I want Jesus number one in my life. Now what? What do you do after that?
Well, for me personally, I knew that when I touched down in LAX from that trip that I had, I knew that everything was going to be different. And I knew that I was going to have to change my lifestyle. And so the first thing I did was start going to church more. I started going to daily mass. And I know that's a big commitment for some people, but I just knew that I had to surround myself where the Holy Spirit was. So for me, that was going to mass as often as I could. And I was raised in a very Christian home. My family, we call ourselves kind of charismatic Catholics, so the Holy Spirit is familiar to us. And I went to my mom and I said, Mom, I had this experience and I want to change my life. Will you support me in this? And my mom said, yes, absolutely, I'll support you. So my mom kind of became my best friend, but whether it's your mom or a spiritual director or someone in your life, I think it's important when you make that decision to get backed up by some people that you know that will support you in prayer and also kind of be a companion in living a holy lifestyle.
Now, let's assume you're not fasting, okay, because fasting is a very important tool for us. Do you eat during the day? Do you have meals?
Yeah, most of the time, yes.
And do you drink water or you drink fluids during the day?
Absolutely, yes.
Would you say that is a prerequisite for us to have a healthy life?
Absolutely.
Now, we know that physically we need to eat, we need to drink. Why is it that we don't get spiritually that we also need to do things every day? And the number one thing we can do during the day, Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. He wasn't talking, I think, about, you know, just normal bread, but he is the bread of life.
That's right.
About Eucharist. And the prerequisite for living a spiritual life is doing everything possible. I realize some days it may be impossible, but most days it's very possible to go to Mass daily.
You know, Gia said something that really struck me as important, and that is that she went to her mother to share, to ask for support. You know, when Jesus created his group of apostles, he knew how important community was, that they would need each other And we need that. We need to realize that we're not an island to ourselves, that, you know, we need others to help us, encourage to stay focused on the Lord, you know, find a good spiritual director or a good friend who's honest and loving with you to say, hey, you need to look at this again.
Right.
You know, look at this and bring Jesus into this situation. We need community. We need each other, and we need to be part of the support for others as well.
So as we think about this, we're talking, my brothers and sisters, about tools. And it starts with making the commitment, then certainly prayer, to have prayer life, to have daily 1 hour if you can, but it's, you know, certainly that really commitment to our prayer life. But you can't get there without frequent, if not daily, Mass and really letting God fill your heart with the Eucharist. In terms of another sacrament that's so important as it relates to being all in, what comes to mind?
You mean besides the Eucharist?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, confession. We need that
grace.
I
knew you'd get it right. I knew you're an A+. That
yeah.
whole reconciliation. And why
Absolutely.
Is that so important?
It's so important because we need the grace, you know, and that's really what it is. And I think that without that grace, it's impossible to be without compromise, you know, because we can't do it by ourselves. And the Lord offers us this beautiful sacrament of reconciliation where we can go and we can gain the spiritual strength that we need to fight the battles that we face in temptation and sin.
And it's so difficult. And reconciliation is something we need to embrace, because what it's all about is getting into that environment where you understand more how much God loves you and how He has forgiven you. And even though, you know, you hear from different people, you hear things like, well, unless you commit this horrible sin, you don't need to go. It's not about needing to go. It's about wanting to go, saying, I want to get even closer to you. I want to be totally pure of heart, even venial sins. I don't want to do anything that's displeasing to you. And when we have that attitude, everything changes.
That's right. Yeah. And for me, Deacon Steve, it had been a long time since I went to confession when I first had this transition, and I wrote down a list of all my sins, and it, even to put the pen to paper to admit to myself that this was the life that I was living was difficult, and I was scared to go and stand in the confession line and then sit in the confessional and admit all of these things.
We're going to be right back to learn more about what happened as it relates to that moment in time when you went back to reconciliations. Deacon Steve Greco, you're empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Father Quan Tran, parochial vicar for Christ Cathedral Parish. And today we're going to talk about holiness. We all know that we're all called to holiness. And so we need to understand what holiness is. God tells us, be holy, for I am holy. So God is holy. So therefore, to be holy then is to become like God. But what is God really like? Well, we know that Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. So then to be holy is to be like Jesus. The saints have conformed themselves in a radical way to Jesus. And so we too need to be like Jesus if we are to become holy. But in order to be like Jesus, we need to spend time with Him, to know Him. And we need to do this through prayer, through reading of Scripture, and to spend time with Him, to develop a relationship with Him. And then we can become like Him and to be holy for the glory of God.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here high atop the Tower of Hope, beautiful Christ Cathedral, with a young adult evangelist that inspires me like you cannot believe, Gia Chacon, who is the young adult leader at Mission San Juan Capistrano. Her group is called Ignite, and you meet when?
Tuesdays, the second and fourth Tuesday of every month.
At what time?
7 p.m.
And where do you meet?
We meet in the underground. It's the basement. So we call it the underground.
Ooh,
underground sounds
basement,
better.
in the basement, the second and fourth
Tuesday of the month.
Tuesday of the month. So if you're anywhere in the area, come show up.
Yes.
We were talking about tools of being all in, totally committed to Christ. And we were in the middle of talking about reconciliation as an important tool. And Gia openly shared the fact where many people are, and I hear this all the time, where they have spent an incredible many, many years, in some cases, you know, 10, 15, 20 years without going to reconciliation. And you said you were writing things down and so forth, and tell us more what happened.
Right. And it was difficult for me to even put my pen to paper to write these things down, because it was admitting to myself that I was actually that person and that I had actually done these things. Now, I never lost myself so far, but I knew that these things were not who I was. And I knew, and the things that I had done were absolutely separating me from Christ. And I knew that I had to go and confess. And, like I said before, I was nervous to admit them. I was nervous to confess them, because I guess to me, maybe in my mind, I thought that that would make it real or something like that, that I had actually done that. So it took a lot of courage for me to go. But when I finally did, just the grace that poured out on me, and it felt like a weight had been lifted. And I felt like I can finally say absolutely that I've closed that chapter in my life. I've turned that page, and I'm not that person anymore.
And this relief, right, that you felt afterwards is just beyond comprehension.
It is.
And so, my brothers and sisters, we need these tools. We need daily Mass whenever possible. We need very frequent reconciliation. And I say that, it's interesting. St. Padre Pio said, these are the five components to live a holy life, to strive to be a saint, which we all need to be striving for, right? The first is daily receiving the body and blood of Christ, daily Mass. The second is weekly reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
The third is something in which we fill our heart and soul with something. And what might that be, Marianne?
Scripture.
Scripture. And you've been teaching Scripture for so long. Why is it important that we read that daily, to be holy, to be all in?
Well, there's so many reasons. First of all, we call it God's love letter to us. It's a way of finding out who the Lord is and how much He loves us. And also, it's kind of like an instruction book. There's things in there that can help us live our life to the fullest in the way He intended us to be.
And so it's so important to imbibe it, in a sense, mm-hmm. right? To let it fill our hearts and souls. And is it important that we even memorize it a little bit, or at least know how to quote? I know a lot of people getting threatened and saying, I don't know Scripture and verse and all that.
I think so. You know, it's interesting. I try to get people to do it, and we're reluctant, I think, especially as Catholics, to memorize things. But what happens is you put this in, you memorize a verse, and I allow God to kind of show me a verse, and then I really concentrate on memorizing it. You can put it all over your house or however you want to do it. But what happens is then it's in our soul. And when we need it, it comes right back out.
Amen. It just, you know, you're filled with God. Imbibe in me as I imbibe in you. Remain in me as I remain in you, which is John 15, right? The vine and the branches. You know, we have to be connected with that vine, right? Otherwise, we won't bear fruit. You know, when the branch is cut off from the vine, it withers and dies. And Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And with me, you can do everything. And so, in fact, it says in John 14:12 that you will do greater things than me because I go to the Father before you. So that all of these incredible things will happen as we live out our holiness when we are connected to Jesus.
You know, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil and he's in the desert, what does he do? He quotes Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so in a sense, it's like we put these in our soul, and it's ways of reminding us and catching ourselves. And it's just, there's a great power in God's word as well to speak it out loud. And so we need to have that. And we have this Bible, this tool. We need to put it into us and be able to have it at the very moments we need it.
1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. You know, to say that when Satan is attacking you and you even have this fear that Satan wants to give you fear.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not dealing with someone who's God, who is equal to our God, equal to Jesus. No, you're dealing with a created being. and greater is Jesus within you than anything that the devil can throw against you. And it's so important. So the Word of God, in order to receive the holiness and to be all in, I believe very strongly that we have to have the Word of God part of our life. The other thing that's so critical, Gia, is that what do we feed ourselves with? Think about it for a second. Think of the movies, even social media at times. Think about things on radio. Think
music.
About what we read, music, whatever it is. And so many people want to follow Jesus, and then they do all these other things that lead them away from Jesus.
Well, I think that we're living in a generation where everything is based upon instant gratification. And we're constantly being shown things, being stimulated by these sources, that it makes it easy, you know? And I think that this is the main struggle that we face, is choosing, you know, the Word of God, choosing this Bible, this thick book with a lot of pages in it, choosing that over these other things that maybe at the moment seem like they're more, they're going to give us more, right? Like, especially with social media, I think the younger generations are always on our phones. So I would say is that, number one, those things are instant, right? They can't satisfy you. They'll fill you for a moment, but they won't satisfy you. And the only way to gain true satisfaction is through knowing Jesus, but also through discovering Jesus through the Word of God. Because through reading our Bible, that's the only way we can ever have a full understanding of who Jesus was and is, and who God the Father was and is, and who the Holy Spirit was and is.
So as we think about this, my brothers and sisters, is how do we become holy? How do we become all in? We have to first make the commitment, but then we have to fill ourselves with Jesus through the sacraments, through the Mass, through reconciliation. Those are really critical. Fill ourselves with Jesus, because Jesus said, I'm the Word made flesh.
That's right.
So he is the Word. So fill ourselves with Scripture. Other holy books are also very important, and I don't want to say they're not. They are very important, and so the more you can read books on saints or other holy books, those are three key ingredients. The fourth key ingredient, and this is St. Padre Pio reinforces this, is prayer, the holy hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell us about prayer and why that's so critical.
Prayer is everything, because prayer is your whole relationship with the Lord. I mean, it's great if you go to church, but if you don't have a prayer life, these other things become empty. A lot of people, they say, oh, it's, you know, and this is kind of, I guess, like a slang for modern Christianity. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. And I think it's very much both. I think that it has to start with a personal relationship with Jesus. That's where everything flows from, is knowing him. And you have to trust in him, and you can only gain trust in Jesus and in God if you know him. Well, how do you get to know someone? You spend time with them. And I think a lot of people, they look at prayer and they think it's kind of intimidating because maybe they don't have to do it. But prayer is just a simple conversation with the Lord and being vulnerable with him, like Marianne said.
And Marianne, without prayer, we can't have relationship, as Gia is saying.
I like to talk to God all the time. And even when I was a young mom and transporting children back and forth, I used to call the car my prayer box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a time I could pray. When I pray when I drive now. I'm, you know, just any moment you can fit it in to your life, do it and make that conversation with the Lord. And that's what people don't see. We can just make it part of our daily life. We do have to take time to listen as well. But talk to him and include him when you're washing the dishes or sweeping the floor.
It is so important, again, that you have that relationship. You make Jesus your best friend, you know,
yeah.
As you were saying also, Gia. So four things, again, the sacraments, really, really critical. Having that relationship with Jesus through Scripture, you know, through very holy readings, having that prayer life, very, very critical. The final thing is this concept of not being spiritually obese. Have you heard that before?
No.
So many people show up at events with what they can get out of it.
Okay, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They show up and they build and build, and spiritually they keep adding without understanding they are to give away. We have to be action, love in action. We have to do something to build up the body of Christ, to spread the Word of God. So the last point in terms of being all in is, what are you doing to build up the body of Christ? There are certain theologians, Eastern Orthodox, that say that there's only one question we're asked when we get to heaven. Who'd you bring with you?
Mm-hmm.
My brothers and sisters, who did you bring with you? We have to act and go out into the world and do something. Your thoughts, Gia?
Absolutely. I always say that Christianity is a call to action. We're not meant to just, you know, be by ourselves, like Marianne said, just be an island. I think that we're absolutely meant to, like you said, Deacon Steve, that when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we have that new baptism, we can't help but go out and share it with people and make disciples, but also love people. I think the best example that we can do in our love for Jesus is loving other people. And Jesus told us that too, that they will know that you're my disciple by how you love people.
Amen. I think there's a song around that, right?
I was just thinking with scripture, Jesus, every time something happens, the people get, you know, he heals someone, they get up and he asks his mother-in-law to get up and cook. You know? Mm-hmm. And so he's asking us every time something's happening in our lives to use it. You know, go out and use the gifts I gave you. Use those Holy Spirit gifts.
Mm-hmm. Our brothers and sisters, as we're in this Advent/Christmas season, may we always remember how much Jesus loves us. May we always remember that we are to be the personification of that love, to be Jesus's eyes and ears and heart, hands and feet, that we need to serve the poor, that we need to serve those that are poor in spirit who don't know Jesus. We need to go out into the world. I thank you for your yes, Gia. I thank you for who you are. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And Marianne, again, great to have you on the show.
Always a pleasure.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, worship you, and glorify you. We ask, Lord God, to ignite our hearts with your love, to ignite our hearts with the zeal of the Holy Spirit, to unite our hearts with that understanding that we are to say yes to you without compromise. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of our Blessed Mother, may this season be one of a new creation. May we be filled with every spiritual blessing and healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And may Almighty God bless you and all the people you love. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, amen. Alleluia. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You have been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.